One, two, three, four. And welcome to It's My Screen Time 2, the podcast where we review the programming the other critics ignore. Stuff made for kids. Find out what to watch for family movie night, what to avoid altogether, and what you'll want to watch alone voluntarily. I'm Deborah.
And I'm Katie.
And I have three kids, ages 14, 11, and 11.
And I have two kids, age 8 and age 5.
Welcome to a Screen Time in the News episode for the week of April 17th, 2024. Sharing our favorite childhood movies with our kids is fun territory you've seen us address in our Those Were the Days newsletter posts about movies like Beetlejuice, Tron, and Karate Kid. There was recently an article in The Guardian by parenting opinion writer Mike Bartlett, Mike with a Y, talking about this very issue, so we thought we'd have some fun covering that today. Listeners, if you see any screen time news you'd like to hear us discuss, send us a link or a citation. We'd love to hear from you.
Bartlett immediately hits us with this extremely relatable quote. One of the main reasons I was keen to start a family was to indoctrinate a new generation in the film, TV, and music that has meant so much to me. Same, Mike, same. So he expresses the familiar befuddlement that our kids may end up loving older movies that left little impression on us and shrugging at the ones we consider classics. That has certainly been my experience, as we'll get into. But here are the benefits as he sees them. Resisting presentism. Presentism is not a phrase or not a word that I had heard before. Were you familiar with this?
Not at all.
All right. So he says presentism is, quote, the paradoxical mindset that our present historical moment is not only unique, but also the standard by which every other moment must be judged, end quote. Not entirely clear. He goes on to give an example of the fact that if you watch older movies geared towards teens, the teens don't look as polished and perfect and grown up as they do in today's movies, which I agree is a good thing. I'm still not fully sold on this presentism concept, but whatever. Moving on. He also claims that it encourages kids not to dismiss the bulk of film canon just because it doesn't look as slick and polished as what's made in our current HD CGI era. Fair. He claims it can be used as a way to map societal change and that using these older media products as a jumping off point for discussions about how society has changed can be helpful for kids. And lastly, he says that it helps build family closeness with in-jokes and common points of reference. Deborah, how often do you watch movies from your childhood with your kids? How does it go?
Infrequently, but enough over time that we've watched a lot. I think Jeremy, my husband, is much better at doing this than I am. He's watched, like, he started them early on Star Wars, earlier than I even would have myself. He's watched things like Monty Python with them. I tend to remember older movies that are either like a little too age inappropriate or too long and old-fashioned. Like, remember we watched Pollyanna for the podcast a long, long time ago, and like I would put Sound of Music into that category. Even though that's not from my childhood, but it's a classic that I remember watching as a kid.
Yeah, the older movies do tend to be on the longer side for sure.
I would say a handful of times a year, probably.
Okay. All right. So I do this a lot more often than you do, just because I would rather pick a childhood favorite that comes to mind than scroll for hours to reach a consensus. So it's my go-to. If we're not sitting down with a movie already in mind, then I'm way more likely to pick something that I've already seen and loved. It's rare that they love it, but it's also rare that they absolutely hate it. So I know we talked about Tron. We also had some success with Kiki's Delivery Service. That was a fun one. The Disney canon has been a total mixed bag, like the Disney animated movies. I don't know that they've really formed a connection with any of those, like the ones that I consider to be the true, true classics. Kenny went through a small Little Mermaid phase, like the animated Little Mermaid. And I've, of course, tried to get them to watch Newsies with me many times. And they weirdly decided that they preferred the Broadway version. So we've ended up watching Newsies a lot more in that way, which I guess is fine, but it's not scratching the same nostalgic itch, you know?
That's funny. That's one that my kids really like and we've watched a bunch, but I don't remember that from my childhood. I didn't see that as a kid, or if I did, I have no recollection of it.
Well, it was such a flop. It kind of came and went in theaters, and if you didn't catch it right away, I can see it passing you by for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's easier for you to participate in co-viewing with your kids when you're watching something that was important to you as a kid?
I think it raises the stakes a little bit so that, no, it's not easier for me to watch something that I remember. Because, like, if they don't like it, I take it a little bit personally. And it also feels, like, more important that they like it. Like, I know personal taste, you can't really help it.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember watching, like, some of my mom's favorite movies from when she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And those were like special events because you had to like get the VCR or the VHS tape. You had to like rent the VHS tape, go to the store and get that. And she loved Hayley Mills. So we would watch like all the Hayley Mills movies. And so I remember those being more like events. Whereas now you can get so many things on streaming.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as much of a event.
What are the other Hayley Mills movies besides The Parent Trap?
Pollyanna is another one.
Oh, right, right, right. Yeah, duh. Okay.
Yeah, I can't answer that off the top of my head.
So we're kind of flip-floppers on the issue of watching classics from our childhood with our kids. And we've talked about replacing childhood faves with less problematic swaps before. What is your current thinking on this? I think I've loosened up a lot as they've gotten older, but I'm still not anxious to share The Goonies or Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
We've watched both of those, and I think Goonies was like a little too scary for my kids when we watched it. I like Mike with a Y's idea that you can use an old movie to show like social progress.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good lens through which to see sexist or racist things that occurred in movies in like the 1980s. I just listened to the Fresh Air interview with Molly Ringwald.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a freewheeling discussion. They talked about her new show that she's in, but also she talked about watching Pretty in Pink with her children and what it was like rewatching that. That was a really interesting thing about watching something older with your kids. In her case, she starred in it and it like defined her career. But she'd also talked about like how the characters treated women, how the characters treated Asian people. And that was good. It's good to have a discussion about it after you watch it, or pause and do it during.
Again, another hot button topic that we flip-flop a little bit on. I'm really drawn to the idea that when watching older movies with our kids, the emphasis doesn't always have to be on what is developmentally optimal for our children, but instead it can be on what creates a feeling of togetherness for the family. So the experience can be for everyone. And that's not a cheat or an example of parents taking their eyes off the road. There's real value there. Do you have a take on that as a lens through which to view this?
I think that's a cute idea and one that I haven't really thought about. And I like it. It's nice. Like, you can be a Star Wars family or you can be a Star Trek family. That's fun.
I've really been on my soapbox a lot lately about the idea that as parents, it's our obligation to be optimizing our children's experiences at all time. I think maybe I'm just tired and I need a vacation.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was just a fun little freewheeling conversation. Do you have any other thoughts on this that you wanted to get down?
I liked it. There were a couple of shows, I think, because he's British, right? Mm-hmm. He's writing for The Guardian. That I mean, we don't have any knowledge of, or I've never heard of. And he also talks about watching old TV shows, which made me think of the trend of Friends, which I think my oldest is probably right in that ripe age to start rewatching. Oh, to start watching Friends. I could rewatch Friends. That appeals to me.
I feel like
more,
yeah.
maybe more than old movies almost.
You're in good territory for sitcoms because they're already watching Young Sheldon.
Mm-hmm.
So they're ready.
Yes.
I guess we haven't really revisited old TV shows either. A little bit of Doctor Who, but not like old, old Doctor Who.
Should we move on to our general catch up on screen time in our lives?
Sure, let's do it.
What are your kids watching and what are you watching with them, if anything?
So Deborah, you can just take off your headphones and take a water break or a bathroom break because I'm going to talk a little bit about the new Pokemon show. My kids have started watching the latest Pokemon cartoon, which I believe is called Pokemon Horizons.
I just saw a clip of that in a magazine.
Yeah, it is, as mentioned, the first Pokemon show not to feature Ash Ketchum. If you don't count Pokemon Concierge, which, to be honest, feels a little bit like a one-off, Pokemon Horizons looks a lot like your normal Pokemon shows. There is still a Pikachu, though it's not Ash's Pikachu, so they kept that little familiar through line. And it seems to be going well. They seem to be attaching to new characters and new situations without the familiar faces. They know just fine. And that makes me happy. It's been fun for things to be a little bit different. How about you? What have your kids been watching?
Okay. We're almost all at the end of Young Sheldon, so we do have to find something else. But the other night I sat down and I cannot find the title of this show, but it was like one of those is it cake type of cooking shows where the challenge was to like make a dessert in the shape of a boat and put it in like a stream of water with fans blowing on it. The boats all had to have sails. Like one team made the sails out of thin ravioli like pasta, and if the boat tipped and sank, they were out of the competition. It was so bizarre. It's like, what are we doing here?
We will do anything in competition shows, and sometimes it's the perfect amount of crazy.
This was a little bit too much for me, because then they would eat the cake that had been on the boat, like not on the boat itself, like the teams had to reserve the cake, but after you see it like spill into this pool of water, like my appetite for cake would be gone.
Yeah, agreed. I don't want soggy cake.
So it was probably the most unappetizing cooking show I've ever seen. Gosh, it was bad. What's on your watch list, or what are you watching in your grown-up screen time, kid-free screen time?
So we made it through the first episode of The Three Body Problem on Netflix, which we were looking forward to because both my husband and I started the book and didn't finish it. So we felt like we had a solid grasp on maybe what was going to happen at the beginning. And we're excited to move forward. It's a lot. There's a lot to contend with. But we're optimistic because it's made by the guys that made Game of Thrones. They seem to have a pretty good handle on adapting unwieldy books. Mm-hmm. So if anyone can do it, it seems like they can. We also watched the first episode of Manhunt on Apple TV Plus, which is the show about the search for John Wilkes Booth after he assassinates Lincoln.
I nixed that.
Really?
I don't love historical shows that are like historically accurate.
It's funny because that book that Manhunt is based on is one of the first nonfiction books that I remember reading and really feeling like, oh, nonfiction can be written like fiction. It can be just as propulsive and compelling and plot-based as a fiction book. So I remembered really loving the book, and that made me excited to watch the show. I didn't find the show to be quite as propulsive, but maybe that's just because they had to do a lot of scene setting. We'll stick with it. I love Tobias Menzies. And if nothing else, I was fascinated by the intricacy of the wallpaper patterns everywhere they went.
We are also just starting an Apple Plus show called Palm Royale. And it's like a frothy set in like the 60s, 70s. Takes place at a glamorous hotel. But listen to the cast. Kristen Wiig. Kaia Gerber, that's Cindy Crawford's daughter. Carol Burnett.
Ooh.
Ricky Martin. Laura Dern. Bruce Dern. Allison Janney. And more. I'm excited about this show. I really liked the pilot.
That is a truly bonkers cast, I'm not going to lie.
With like period costumes, cars, drinks, like Kristen Wiig's character always drinks a grasshopper. It's kind of like Mad Men-ish, but like fun, like more fun, less depressing.
I am looking forward to you being the trial balloon for this show and letting me know what you think of it. Okay, so in the course of our catch-up about screen time, I totally had a half an hour sitcom thought from our childhood that I think would be fun to introduce to your kids.
Tell me.
Do you remember Dinosaurs?
Yes, with that little silly baby dinosaur.
Yeah, I mean, it at least has a hope of being slightly less problematic than a lot of the TV shows we watched growing up, because it didn't have actual humans in it. It was puppets.
Yeah.
I think that could be a good option.
Can you get Alf anywhere?
Ooh, I don't know.
Speaking of, I don't know, puppets. Were they puppets? Alf? It wasn't animated. No, the dinosaur one.
Yeah, they were puppets. It was like a very expensive television show.
That's funny. We'll have to see if that's streaming anywhere.
Apologies in advance if it's actually horrible to watch now.
Gosh. And then I was thinking for myself, I might like to watch Cheers.
Yeah, that was my first thought, too, of one I definitely know from our childhood that has held up. But I don't know if my kids are ready to watch a show set in a bar.
I watched that when I was their age. So.
Really? It's just a failure of imagination on my part. We used to watch all the like really old ones from my parents' childhood. So I don't know why I'm so resistant to doing this with my kids, because I watched like Gilligan's Island and The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis.
Yeah. Where's our Nick at Night?
Exactly. Nick at Night probably still exists. We just don't watch cable. All right. I'm going to check my Nick at Night lineup. That's what I've taken away from this conversation. Thanks for listening to this Screen Time in the News episode. Next week, we'll be back with a review of the nature documentary series Queens. If you enjoyed our show today, please recommend the show to one friend you think would enjoy it too. We love growing our community of parents for sanity and screen time. Want more words about screen time? Subscribe to our newsletter at myscreentime2.com. Tune in next time for more real talk about the movies and TV we watch with our kids because we have to, and sometimes because we like to. Bye.
Screen time. Bye. Screen time. Screen time.